Good morning and welcome to the Dorsey Wright podcast for Wednesday, May 23rd. I am Tammy DeRozier. Tom Dorsey's on a little vacation hiatus this week down in Florida, getting some nice sun. And I have the pleasure today for the first part of our podcast to welcome Rick Lager. Rick has been a long-term client of Dorsey Wright, probably almost from the beginning of our company's founding on 21 years ago. Rick's been a client, and Rick has been a pioneer in the 401k advising area, and I tell you, this is something that is so important to investors these days because less than 6% of all corporate America has pension plans left for their employees. You know, I look at my parents, my in-laws, and, you know, they worked for large companies like Philip Morris and DuPont, and so when they retired, they were able to have pension plans to supplement their Social Security and in their own personal savings. However, I look at my generation and even people just a step beyond my generation, and most people do not have a pension plan. In fact, in my generation, I don't know of anyone who has a pension plan. Everyone is on their own to save for themselves with their 401k plans. And so understanding how to invest that money in the 401k becomes much more important going forward to our retirement livelihoods. And so because of that, we're seeing some changes on the legislative land front landscape, and Rick has really taken on the 401k investing area and has made this the focal point of his business. And we've had the pleasure of working with Rick in a number of different avenues, from speaking at some of our broker institutes to speaking on podcasts to, in fact, he actually teaches a 401k investing class for advisors to take through our online university to learn more about not only the legislation, fiduciary responsibility, but also how to use the point and figure tools to actually manage the 401k. And so I have the distinct pleasure of welcoming Rick to our podcast today. And you there, Rick?
Yep. Good morning, Tammy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for being on. I tell you, we were talking as we were getting the recording information set up, because, Rick, you're in Minnesota, right?
That is correct.
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis-St. Paul.
And so we were talking and saying, I cannot believe that it's been a year since we did a podcast together, right?
It's been just a little over that, Tammy. I took some time last night in preparation of this call today to listen to you, Tom, and I talk on January 25th of 2006. That was Dorsey Wright podcast number 11 about the proposals that were working their way through Congress at that time from in both the House and the Senate. And, you know, at that time, talking about the details and what was going to be included and what was thought to be included and the direction that the legislation wanted to go. And I still think that if somebody wants to really get a good foundation and a good firm background, Tammy, in what the law contains, that would be a really good 49-minute use of their time, because we did have a great discussion about how that proposed legislation was going to affect the playing field for retirement plan advice.
That's right. Well, why don't we take a minute and bring us up to date on what has happened over the past year with respect to the legislation out there?
Well, last August, President Bush signed the document called the Pension Protection Act of 2006. Over 900 pages, Tammy, of legislation. The largest redoing of ERISA law, pension law, in the history of ERISA, which went back all the way to the early 70s. The most dramatic revision of the 401k or retirement plan legislation, Tammy, that went back all the way to 1981. And that law went into effect in January 1st of 2007. And, you know, it's hard to summarize a 900-page document, Tammy, but what it really amounts to is that retirement plan sponsors, companies that sponsor retirement plans for their employees, can arrange now to have investment advice delivered to the participants in that plan without having to worry about any fiduciary liability in connection with that retirement advice. And these guidelines now come in this legislation, Tammy, directly from the Department of Labor, which is the administrator or the protector of retirement plans in this country.
So what that means is that if I am Dorsey Wright and Associates, I can now provide an avenue to my employees for gaining investment advice over their 401k assets.
Exactly. The Pension Protection Act, Tammy, sets up a couple of new terms that are now in the ERISA landscape. Number one is the definition of a fiduciary advisor to a plan. And the second one it sets up is what's called an eligible investment advice arrangement, which if as a broker or a registered investment advisor, I would be so inclined to go out and set up a fiduciary advice arrangement with a plan sponsor, with Dorsey Wright, I would have to follow certain guidelines and certain procedures on an annual basis to be able to provide investment advice to all participants in the Dorsey Wright retirement plan.
Well, now let me ask you this, Rick. Does everybody in the plan have to get advice from the same person?
They do not. That the eligible investment advice arrangement is the much more complicated way, Tammy, to go about this. There are several different levels of the investment advice industry scrambling to come up with ways on how to provide that to the very large corporate retirement plan sponsors. What I have been doing for the last 9 years is kind of under the radar screen with, especially under the old rules, but certainly under the Pension Protection Act rules, is that I work, Tammy, with individual retirement plan participants. I don't have to get authorized or approved to work with the entire plan. I work with individuals that want to go outside of their whatever's offered to them for advice or guidance on their plan menu website, and I work with those individuals on an individual basis, on a retirement plan advice basis. I would sign up you as an individual client.
So
one of the important subdivision or subparagraphs in this plan, Tammy, allows that to occur at the discretion or at the option of the retirement plan participant. So you could hire me on an individual basis and pay my advisory fees directly from your retirement plan money market account.
Interesting. So what's happening is essentially, you know, like if I were to look at my 401k, I can go in and I can put in some information about how much my balance is today, how much I'm contributing, you know, what I'd like to have in retirement, and it'll tell me, you know, how much I need to contribute, and it might even do a asset allocation pie for me. But it's just going to be a standard one for anyone in my same kind of situation. But it's not going to take into account maybe my other goals and objectives and things like that. So that's kind of what we call somewhat impersonal advice right there, correct?
Exactly. That's just the cookie-cutter approach. With the provisions in the Pension Protection Act now, Tammy, a retirement plan sponsor does clearly now have no liability for any advice that a software program like that would provide to you on an individual basis. They have no liability with that.
Well,
there was a question about that before, but now they don't.
But now they don't have any liability. Well, and the thing is that, you know, for many people, their 401k plans can be their biggest part of their investment sometimes.
Oh, at any level of compensation or a career or any level of professionalism, whether it's the doctor, lawyer, surgeon, CPA, a person, Tammy, all the way down to the assembly line worker. It all the way through that social and economic spectra of our society, it is the biggest part of the assets. No question about it.
And so there stands to reason to me that if that's the biggest part of my, you know, retirement funding, then I should have some personalized advice. And now what you're telling us is that this law, clearly defines that, yes, that is doable, and
yes,
you can get that advice.
Exactly. You know, the only other thing, Tammy, in a person's life that would eventually be worth more, or at some time in your working career worth more than your retirement plan, would be your house and your primary residence.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just think back to in your career now, at our stage of the game, we've sold 2-3 houses. We've
right.
refinanced those houses 2-3 times. You think about the low barrier of entry to get to be a real estate agent. There is absolutely no barrier of entry to get to be a mortgage broker. You and I could be a mortgage broker by 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Right.
you people that get hardly any professional advice on those transactions in their life can now go with their retirement plan. And what this new law mandates, Tammy, is that anybody that does provide advice to an individual participant in their retirement plan follow a fiduciary standard of care, meaning that they are, if I give you advice, I am personally liable for the advice I give you.
Just like I would be if I were handling your, non-401k account.
Exactly, exactly. Yes, that, well, the Merrill Lynch rule, and that's a whole other subject, but the Merrill Lynch rule just went down the drain on that too, mm-hmm. where everybody that provides investment advice, Tammy, now, inside or outside of a retirement plan, is going to have to follow that fiduciary standard of care as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's...
It basically just puts everybody on the same page.
Exactly. That's my point. That's a good point to bring up. I don't think it's an accident now, Tammy, that the Pension Protection Act defines a fiduciary standard of care for investment advice provided in a retirement plan menu. I don't think it's an accident that the Merrill Lynch rule was struck down, and now outside of a retirement plan, there is now a fiduciary standard of care on investment advice. You know, we went for 100 years in this company, or in this country, without any fiduciary standard of care. Now we have it on in a matter of months, we have it both inside and outside a retirement plan account.
So, Rick, when you talk to your clients that are using your advice, what are some of the topics that you bring up about why it's important to have advice on their 401k?
Well, I think that as you work through your career, Tammy, you know, you and I are a lot older than when we started in this business.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
I have a couple of gray hairs.
There you go. There you go. And the other thing is we have had to adapt and modify our approach to this business as rules change, as laws change, as products become available. And I think with the people that I open retirement plan advice relationships with, Tammy, you know, 50-plus years old usually, they no longer cannot pay attention to $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 in investment assets.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, by default, Tammy, a person that has a good career at a good company is going to probably maximize their personal contributions at around the $15,000 level a year.
Right.
If they're over 50, they can do $5,000 more than that. So they're putting $20,000 of their own money in the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the large professional associations that I provide advice to do a matching formula where there's, you know, up to $15,000 or $20,000 matched on top of that. So when you have a plan or any kind of if you would qualify it, Tammy, as a savings account, and you're putting $30,000-$40,000 a year away continually, it adds up.
Yeah, very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And very quickly. I mean, I know with my clients, I was referred to some younger clients, you know, clients younger than me, you know, early 40s, mid-40s, mm-hmm. That when we started, we had, you know, they didn't think it was really that big of a deal. It was $150,000, $200,000. Now those plans, Tammy, are $450,000,
$500,000.
Wow. Just by being invested in the right place and continuing to make deposits.
Well, and I think that hits on the key right there, being invested in the right place, because most people, the buy and hold mantra, go towards those large cap funds or the life cycle funds, and so you end up in these large cap funds, and that's been the exact wrong place to be. I mean, if you look at the S&P, you know, even though we've hit new highs here, if you look at the S&P from 1998 to present, you know, you have averaged about a 3% a year annual rate of return, and you could have done that in the money market.
Exactly.
But along the way, you've ridden the market up 4 times, up 20%, and 4 times down 20%.
That's right. Well, as you know, at a mid-sized 200-300 person company, Tammy, the retirement plan world has been ruled by consultants for many years, and those consultants that sell retirement plan platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, like a Fidelity or a Vanguard or a large insurance company or somebody like that that provides you the custody of your assets and the menu of options for you to invest in. That industry is ruled by people that consult retirement plan sponsors on what should be included in their retirement plan menu. And as you've said earlier, it is very much top-heavy in large-cap mutual funds. If you just went into the Morningstar, Tammy, and, you know, Steve Raymond on Dorsey Wright would be the first guy to give you these numbers in a better form than I could, but let me just give you a breakdown. There's about 12,000 mutual funds available to U.S. investors. I think 10,000-plus of those, Tammy, are large-cap funds. There's only a few hundred small-cap funds. There might be 1,200, maybe 1,500 mid-cap funds. There's probably just maybe 1,000 international funds. The rest of those are large-cap funds, or funds that only invest in large-cap stocks. So if I work at a company, Tammy, that has 8 mutual fund options on the retirement plan menu,
right,
or 108 mutual fund options, 75 to 80% of those options are going to be large cap or some kind of bond combination with large cap.
Mm-hmm.
And as you've said, it's been exactly the wrong place to be the last few years. So if I'm trying to manage this, my menu, Tammy, without any roadmap, and I do what normally is done, people buy a third, a third, a third, or maybe they go 20 or 25% in 4 or 5 different options, there's a strong statistical likelihood that they own a majority of large cap options.
Mm-hmm.
They don't own enough of small cap, mid cap, international, with a value orientation that has been exactly the right place to be, Tammy, the last few years, investment wise.
You're exactly right. Without having someone to call through all of that information and the great thing about the point and figure methodology is you can apply it to stocks, ETFs, and mutual funds. You know,
you can.
There's a great ranking system. Just as we rank stocks and with respect to their technical attributes, we also rank mutual funds. How are they doing versus the market? What is their market relative strength? How are they doing versus others in their same asset class to give
exactly.
them a pure relative strength? And then what's their overall trend?
Yep. And then the other thing is, Tam, you know, many people, regardless of their asset size of their retirement plan or regardless of how big of that asset size is in regard to their overall net worth or investable net worth, they seem to want to take a little bit more of a buy-or-hold approach to those assets. And what I try to tell the people that I meet with is, using an advisor who is knowledgeable about the Dorsey Wright database tools and screening and scoring measurements on mutual funds can adapt to a buy and hold methodology in your retirement plan. You know, maybe review it on a quarterly basis or a couple, 3 times a year. But it's hugely more profitable, Tammy, to know what asset classes to buy and hold rather than what asset classes to underexpose themselves to. Which is the biggest flaw, going back to your original question, on what you get if you try to go online at the retirement plan website, Tammy, and use some of the tools that they provide you under the guise of advice on how to allocate your investment portfolio in your retirement plan. Because as you've written about many times before in the Dorsey Wright Daily Report, those software tools are all age-based. And depending upon your age, they will allocate you out of what actually the asset classes that have been working, the small, mid, value, and international. You'll own much less of that than you should have owned the last few years, and much more of what you should not have owned, which is large cap, growth, and bonds. So as you said earlier, Tammy, that asset allocation online has been counterproductive to help an investment retirement plan participant navigate their retirement plan menu.
That's right. You know, it reminds me of a conversation that Tommy and I had with another advisor, and he said, you know what financial planning is? I think it's when you cut to the chase of financial planning, it is don't spend as much, save more, we're done.
Exactly.
Let's talk about where to invest that money that you're saving. And I think, you know, I've always been a proponent that everybody is probably pretty moderate risk. You know, people want to have exposure on the upside, and they certainly don't want to feel all of the downside. You know,
I can give
back a little bit, but I don't want to give back a lot. So I don't care whether you're 60 years old or whether you're, you know, 35 years old. You know, everybody, I think, kind of falls, you know, very closely to that kind of moderate level.
Exactly. But it makes a huge difference on investment performance, Tammy, if your stock market exposure, through your working career is in the right asset classes.
Oh, exactly. I mean, you know, you look at the S&P 500 here, and here we are hitting, you know, new highs. So, but that is new highs go back to the year 2000. So, you know, if I'm up 3-4% since the year 2000 in large cap, I could have been up 100% being in the S&P 500 on an equally weighted basis, or
that's
maybe
exactly
in a small
it.
Cap fund or an international fund. That makes a huge difference, because here we are, you know, 7 years down the road from the year 2000. If I'm buying and holding the S&P, I have now lost 7 years of compounded rate of returns, which I thought, if you looked at those computer models, I was getting 11% a year, so I thought I was going to be doubling my money. But
right.
here I am in the S&P 500 just getting back to even, and the real kicker is that I've just lost 7 years worth of time. I'm 7 years now closer to retirement than what I was in the year 2000.
There are several people, Tammy, that I have approached in the last few months that have been rejoicing that they are now back on their asset levels in their retirement plans they were in March 2000.
Wow.
So you take seven or at least six good calendar years at full contribution levels. So again, over 50, you're putting in $20,000 a year times six, that's $120,000. Whatever your firm matching is, let's say it's half that. At least, at a minimum, it's half that, Tammy. So $120,000 plus $60,000 is $180,000 that have been put into their plans over that time.
Right.
And they're rejoicing that they're just back to where they were before.
Wow.
I mean, how you they don't mentally account for almost $200,000 in new money going in that plan.
Mm-hmm.
They're just looking at the bottom line.
Right.
Well, I ask many people I'm trying to build relationships with, what happened with $200,000? Where is it? It's obviously shown up in the market value of your retirement plan, but where's the growth on that money?
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. The mental accounting that online software tools make you go through, Tammy, is not logically correct. It doesn't account for the money that's going in your plan, the growth of that money, and as you also said earlier, the preservation of the principal when the market goes backwards.
Right.
How do you account for that?
So now, Rick, when you're advising your clients, how do you, you have people at different firms, they have different menus.
Yes.
You know, do you send an email to your clients to let them know when there's a change? Like, I know that you use the point figure methodology, so let's say that we were to have a change in real estate. Many of the real estate mutual funds are starting to drop off with respect to their technical scores. We've started to see some relative strength charts getting very close to suggesting that the REITs are no longer a place to be. So let's say one of the companies where you had several clients and followed had a REIT mutual fund. How would you communicate that with your clients?
Well, Tammy, it's interesting that you bring that up, because last week I had the same exercise that you just described. I sent out emails to some clients that have self-directed options in their retirement plan.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you
a minute
on
about that for a minute
first before we get into the specifics on the real estate. One of the other things that is very, very important that retirement plan participants understand, Tammy, with this new Pension Protection Act, is that it has accelerated the growth and the acceptance of a self-directed option available in a retirement plan menu. Many of the people that I get referred to or that I approach on my own do not know enough about their retirement plan offering for them to realize that there is a portion of their retirement plan offering that they can take money off their main retirement plan account and set up a self-directed brokerage account within their retirement plan.
Okay, so let's back up here for a second. So let's say I've got $400,000 in my 401k, and I have 10 things on my menu that I can buy.
Exactly.
What you're telling me is I can take part of that money, part of that $400,000, and put it over into another account that opens up all stocks, all ETFs, anything
exactly.
I want to purchase,
yes.
right?
There is a link on your retirement plan login screen, Tammy, after you log in and put your password in.
Mm-hmm.
There is many times a self-directed brokerage or brokerage account link. And your plan offering gives you the ability, in most cases it's all of the money, in some cases it's maybe 50 or 60% of your money, can be taken off the main menu of mutual fund options and journaled over into that new account. And that new account will do one of two things. on a limited basis, it'll open up a new menu of up to 1,000, I've seen in some cases, different no-load mutual fund options in addition to your main menu of options.
Wow, so now I've got many more choices.
You get that many more choices. I mean, you could go into specifically into sectors, and you could buy precious metals, you could buy foreign mutual funds, you could buy anything you want to. What's more common, Tammy, is on that self-directed brokerage menu, is for you to open up a truly self-directed brokerage account, which allows you to buy anything you want to buy, stock, bonds, mutual funds, anything you want to own. That is one of the most important features, I think, Tammy, the new Pension Protection Act, is that it allows people to journal money off their main menu and self-direct part of their retirement plan. Now let me answer this question you asked about real estate, because I just walked through this last week with a client that that had a self-directed brokerage account. We started working with each other about 3 years ago. The first thing I did, Tammy, when I got the account set up, was in September of 2004, I bought him the ICF, which is a real estate ETF.
Mm-hmm.
The symbol's ICF. We bought that in September of 2004 at around $120 a share. I just recommended to him last Thursday that we sell that because of, as you said, the loss of the relative strength in the real estate sector of the market.
Now, I should mention, when you say that was $120 a share, that this ETF split.
The ETF did split, yes. We owned, at that time, Tammy, we owned 840 shares of it, just a small portion of his account. We just wanted to try it. I just wanted to get him used to how these ETFs worked and using the Dorsey Wright tools, knowing when to allocate part of that retirement plan into a sector of the market that was beginning to show outperformance. Now, as you know, Tammy, that wasn't the beginning of the outperformance, but at that time, in September of 2004, that was certainly a sector that you'd want to be made aware of having some asset allocation to.
Oh, definitely, and that was right when indicators were beginning to turn positive. The bullish percent was going back on offense, so you want to go in the strong RS areas, and one of those was certainly REITs.
Exactly, and I told him, he said, you know, The menu options that you have here are good, but they're not really doing that well. Let me show you how this self-directed brokerage account would work, and let me give you an example of some of the tools I have available using the Dorsey Wright database that would help us pinpoint this outperformance. Well, as you said, Tammy, that ETF had split during that time, so we now had over 1,680 shares of that REIT, and I told him we should sell it. We're beginning to outperform. We've had a nice gain. I don't want to give any more back. You know, I went through the whole process. I was amazed, Tammy, when I put a pencil to this. We had gained over 61% on that investment, that
wow.
Individual investment position, by owning it not at the bottom, but just taking a big chunk out of the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Getting it early on and holding it to where we was pretty sure that we were going to get some underperformance on the real estate, and it just needed to go in a different direction. So the point is, Tammy, that self-directed brokerage accounts give you the ability to use the Dorsey Wright tools to allocate part of your retirement plan account into the sectors of the market that you want to get involved in to a larger extent that you don't have the ability to get involved in working on a regular retirement plan menu.
That's right. You know, we've done some studies here, and there's been numerous academic studies to show that sector rotation can have some of the biggest effects on your portfolio. In fact, you know, someone who perfectly timed the market from 1990 to present and was up, was in the market only in those months in which it showed a positive gain, was out of the market in any month that was down, you know, turned $10,000 into over $500,000. However, someone who was able to purchase the best performing sector every year was able to turn their $10,000 into $5 million. Now, not that we're saying that you put it all on one sector and let it ride, but what that goes to show you is that when you can be in the right sectors of the marketplace, it can have a tremendous impact on your return. So everybody, I think, should have some piece of their money dedicated to a sector rotation strategy in the portfolio. And for us, using that relative strength is the strategy that we use to tell us in the right places to be.
My client, we only have 4 or 5 positions, Tammy, in this client's self-directed brokerage account. And I know he said, Rick, you know, that's fantastic that we made that much money. Are we doing as well on some of the other ones we own?
Mm-hmm.
And I went in my position screen, Tammy, in my software, and I looked at the next ETF that we purchased, which is in January of 2005. We purchased the IYE, which, as you know, is the iShares Dow Jones U.S. Energy Sector ETF.
Right.
We bought it on January 12th of 2005. And I said, well, let me just do a quick calculation. So I went on the Dorsey Wright database, threw a couple numbers in there, and lo and behold, the IYE is up 84.9%.
That's right.
Through the middle of May of 2007. Versus the Dow Jones, which, as you said earlier, Tammy's getting all the headlines, that's only up 27%. And the S&P, which is also getting all the headlines, is only up 28% over that period. So the second one of the four we've owned, one was up 61, the other one's up 84%. Point is, again, using the Dorsey Wright database to pinpoint the areas, the sectors of the market that are beginning to outperform, and taking a buy and hold approach to allocating assets in a self-directed retirement plan menu to those sectors. It's not that hard, Tammy. That's the thing. And I think when I sit down with people, I know the response that I get from them is, why is it this easy and why aren't more people doing this? I'm at a loss usually at that point to explain it to them.
That's right. Well, because, you know, you sit down and you actually will make appointments with the individual participant of the 401k plan.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And explain to them what your methodology is.
My advice, Tammy, is on an individual basis. It's far more cumbersome and far more complicated for a broker or a registered advisor to go and get a fiduciary advisor relationship set up with a retirement plan sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you'd be a pioneer if you started going out to do that. My point in this discussion is that it's much more profitable to the retirement plan participant to seek out an advisor to work with on an individual basis. And for someone to be able to get advice and counsel and direction and have a game plan on how to manage both their default menu of options in their retirement plan as well as help them make better investment decisions on the self-directed brokerage option in their retirement plan menu.
I mean, it just opens up a whole world of things that, you know, and on the self-directed side that, you know, maybe your advisor is utilizing the sector rotation portfolio or the DW Aero Mutual Fund. It gives you a little exposure to all areas on a tactical basis, and you can gain exposure to those areas through your self-directed that you never could before.
Absolutely, yes. And I am constantly amazed, Tammy, at the number of retirement plan participants that I approach or get referred to that are not aware of the self-directed brokerage option in their menu.
Mm-hmm.
They do not have any idea that it has been available to them for several quarters or even several years.
That's right. And like you said, in most of the plans, it opens up everything to you.
It does. It opens up everything. Listed stocks, listed bonds, ETFs, everything that you can invest in. If you were to call Charles Schwab or Fidelity this morning and open up an online brokerage account,
mm-hmm.
that account, Tammy, is very similar to a self-directed brokerage account in a retirement plan menu.
Well, Rick, let's be honest. You know what? Let's say I'm a 401k participant, but I was not employed in this industry. And you know what? I work, have family, have kids. You know, I'm a busy person. How often are you changing things in that 401k?
I think our ETF, Tammy, example is probably the answer to that question. This 20% part of this self-directed brokerage option that my client had invested in when we first began our relationship in the late summer or early fall of 2004, this is the first time we've made a transaction, a sale transaction, since then. We bought real estate, we bought energy, we bought small value, we bought international through the EEM. And we bought small value, international, energy, and real estate. So we bought three broad areas of the market, Tammy: the international asset class, we brought the value stocks, and we bought these small and mid-cap stocks. And we bought two sectors. We bought real estate and we bought energy.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first sale, Tammy, since the fall of 2004.
Well, so again, you're using the long-term tools. Now, you know, you can use the individual charts for buy and sell signals. That's going to be faster. But really what you're focusing on is some of the longer-term relative strength tools that are trying to capture long-term trends.
Exactly, yes. And we had had no reason to sell those assets, Tammy, since the fall of 2004, because these asset classes and these subsectors of the market have done so well on a relative strength basis. I remember he said, well, how are we doing internationally? He said, you know, Rick, that scares me a little bit. I've always been a little bit nervous about our international stuff because I don't know that much about it. As you know, I never invested in it when I was on my regular plan menu. I just am a little bit uncomfortable with it. I said, well, you're going to be shocked to find out that since September of 2004, your EEM, which is the iShares Emerging Markets ETF, is up 135%. He said, you're kidding me. I said, no, there's no reason to sell it. It's still doing well. It's the place to be. He said, that's amazing. So here we're in a two-minute conversation, Tammy. We're doing our first sale of the five parts of the puzzle we bought.
Mm-hmm.
We're up 60, 90, and 135%.
Wow.
And there's still no reason to sell four out of the five pieces based on investment performance.
Now, will you go in and sell this for the customer, or does he do it himself?
A little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Most of my customers, Tammy, especially my newer ones,
mm-hmm.
are giving me their login password information to their retirement plan,
mm-hmm.
and I am acting as if I was the investor themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going online and doing it for them.
Mm-hmm.
There is a little bit of discretion that has to be disclosed there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a new advisory agreement that allows me to disclose and for my clients to acknowledge that I do have discretion on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that that's not a bad thing, Tammy, because I'm fiduciary liable for my advice anyway.
Right.
Discretion is a minor detail when you're talking about being a fiduciary. The other thing is, I found, Tammy, it's very respectful of the retirement plan participants' time. Because when I log into a site like a Fidelity or a Schwab or a New England Life or any New York Life, many of the large insurance companies that I work with, I can get around that website in just a couple of minutes. Whereas if the client goes in there, 20 minutes, half an hour later, they get to figure out what they went there to go do, which
mm-hmm.
is a transaction. So I try to be respectful to my clients' time, and I just feed back to them what we did and what the transaction was, and if they log in to look at it later on, then they know that it's taken care of.
That's fantastic. I tell you, it's really, you know, this whole landscape is changing and evolving, and, you know, even since you've been doing the 401k class for advisors and on the website, and what the class is designed to do, it kind of has three modules. The first module is understanding what the regulations are, which are always changing.
Yes.
The second module is point and figures, how to utilize the point and figure methodology to manage the mutual funds and the self-directed area. And then the third portion, or module of the class, is client education, how to educate individual investors about the options that they have. It has been tremendously successful.
Hmm. What has been very noticeable to me, Tammy, is I don't have that many retirement plan menus that I actually monitor. I think it's way under 20. It might be even way under 15.
Really?
But what I have found, Tammy, is I've been able to go deeply into the retirement plan companies that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
I've got several companies that I have 25 or more clients at one individual company.
Wow.
Because what has happened, Tammy, is I get to know that menu really well. I get to know that those plan features really well. And I have been referred around to other people within that plan that have the same investment management problems on their retirement plan as the clients I've originally opened relationships with. So there's not that many moving parts when you know the plan menu and when you know how to navigate through the self-directed brokerage option.
You know, I've got another question for you, Rick, and that is, you know, what are you kind of encountering when you talk to individuals about their 401ks? I mean, the market's really been rising in general
Yes.
over the last couple of years. People still feel the need for advice?
Well, there's a little bit of reluctance, Tammy, when I get referred or when I get when I approach someone on my own,
mm-hmm.
because as you've said, there has been the tide has risen all the ships in the marina the last 6 or 9 months.
Right.
That sell-off we had in February is an old memory now, and people are just looking at what their year-to-date returns are. They don't know what they don't know the difference between what they were, 60 days ago and what they are now. What I try to do, Tammy, is focus their attention on a couple of things. Your large cap fund that you probably own, year-to-date through, again, May 23rd of 07, is up anywhere from 6 to maybe 9% on the top end. Your year-over-year returns are, in a decent fund, 10% year-over-year. In a better large-cap fund, you might see 15, you might see 19, 20%. If you go on that same retirement plan menu, Tammy, the numbers are incrementally increase both year-to-date and year-over-year returns when you go mid-cap, small-cap, global. Year-to-date numbers are anywhere from 12 to 20%.
Wow.
Year-over-year numbers are anywhere from 25 to 35%.
Mm-hmm.
So what I try to do is make the prospective client or somebody I get referred to, Tammy, aware of how much that's cost them in investment returns.
Mm-hmm.
You take a $500,000 plan, the guy that you talk to is at least 50 to 60% invested in large cap.
Mm-hmm.
So on a $500,000 plan, he's probably got at least $300,000 of that invested in a large cap fund that's gone up between 9 and maybe 15% in the last year. If he would have done the same buy and hold strategy and allocated that money to mid or smaller international instead of a top end 15% return, he'd have a top end 25 or 30% return. So the quick mathematics I do, and this is an example I get into when I've got my clients involved in the retirement plan advice book, Tammy, that I put together about a year ago. This is by far the biggest part of the book that I get the most comments on, is how much money it has cost these retirement plan participants to be misallocated in the wrong asset classes.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a 10% difference, Tammy, on $300,000, that's $30,000.
It's a lot of money.
So exactly, and that's just year to date or year over year. So at whatever stage of the game you're in, Tammy, $30,000, that's just like another year's worth of contributions for most people.
Mm-hmm.
2 years for some people. And that's just in the most recent stock market cycle, and that's just over the last 12-month period. So it's cost them that much money, $30,000 to be misallocated. However, that's just the first important point. The second important point, Tammy, is if you would have taken all that money out of large cap and allocated it toward small, mid, international with a value orientation, if it's been available on their menu, or do it through ETFs, it's many cases 2 or 3 times that amount in market value difference.
Wow.
So what I try to do to answer your question, Tammy, is I try to show them what the cost of the problem is. How much is it costing you to continue in your buy and hold mode, owning the wrong asset classes, taking all the risk associated with being fully invested in the stock market, but owning the wrong stuff? How much does it cost you annually, over 2 years, over 5 years? I let them pick their example. I've routinely sat down with people, Tammy, with $800,000 or $900,000, maybe $1 million in their retirement plan, that have what I call the cost of the problem,
mm-hmm.
anywhere north $250,000,
$300,000. Wow.
Which is really kind of frightening to some people that this costs them that much money.
That's right, costing that much opportunity. And I think, and that's what it comes down to being tactical. And now, with the changes in the laws, that it opens up a new area for individuals to begin to consult with an advisor to help them remain
exactly.
tactical in what's for many people, the biggest part of their retirement plan.
Well, I think we brought up this fact before, Tammy, but I want to remind the listeners to this very important point. Not only does this self-direction open up a new area to be able to make smarter and more intelligent investment decisions in your retirement plan menu, but also one of the provisions of the Pension Protection Act is that it allows individual retirement plan participants to pay for this advice directly from the money market in their retirement plan menu. You can sign an agreement either with your retirement plan provider or with your self-directed brokerage retirement plan provider to allow a third-party advisor to gain access to your account and to bill that provider on a quarterly basis the advisory fees that essentially are paid in pre-tax dollars from that account. So most of my clients, Tammy, look at what they pay me on a quarterly basis as almost free money for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not writing a check for it on a quarterly basis. It's coming out of their pre-tax contributions to their retirement plan. And they don't see it pass through the checkbook every quarter.
Well, it's streamlining.
It's very streamlined.
And that's where everything is going. Hmm.
And what I also try to bring up to my client, I mean, the client that I spoke of that owns the energy and the real estate ETFs, Tammy, mm-hmm. that have had those astronomical investment returns over the last 2.5 to 3 years, that client's account value is about $1.2 million on the self-directed account. That client's paying me anywhere from, I don't even know what it is, let's say it's $5,000 a year, just for a round number. Do you think the client cares much about a $5,000 a year annual fee to have that kind of investment return in his IR self-directed retirement plan account on an annual basis? It pales in comparison.
Right.
You know,
To be tactically managed in the right areas at the right time.
It's worth whatever you charge.
That's
whatever
right.
you charge, that client is happy to have a tactical approach and a risk management approach to how he manages or better manages his retirement plan menu. So the costs associated with this, Tammy, are pale in comparison to the actual value added that you provide your retirement plan participant client.
I mean, for sure. And this, I tell you, Rick, I have really appreciated you being on the call today. I mean, every time I talk to you, I learn a little something new about the landscape and how it's changing out there in the 401k world.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time, Tammy, on behalf of Dorsey Wright, to make this information available to your audience of podcast listeners. And I because it's not available anywhere else.
That's right. And I tell you, if you're listening to this and you hear it and it's something that you think someone you know of would be interested in about how you can, tactically manage your 401k, the rules and regulations that make it possible, how to do it from a point and figure standpoint, tell them to come listen to the podcast, pass the word along. Hmm.
That would be the best way to advertise the fact that this is available and you can really be proactive and take charge of the investment management, Tammy, of your retirement plan menu.
And that's what it's all about, empowering people to be better investors. Mm.
And from the advisor all the way to the client.
That's right, all the way down the loop. So,
absolutely.
Well, like I said, Rick, I have learned a lot today in our conversation. I hope our listeners have. I'm sure they have learned a lot. It is always a pleasure to speak with you on the podcast. And next time, we'll have to make it shorter than a year.
Yeah, we'll do that. If there's some legislation or some dramatic change, we'll have to do that, Tammy. I also know that as you communicated to your client base just last week, Dorsey Wright is now updating their tools that advisors use to monitor these portfolio menu options in mutual funds. Specifically, the Dorsey Wright Team Builder is being updated.
That's right. Team Builder is being updated. It's going to incorporate stocks, ETFs, mutual funds all together so you can put everything on a level playing field and compare them to one another to determine what's the best place to be.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes the mutual fund manager is doing a great job. He's where you want to be over top of an ETF. Other times, the manager isn't doing as good a job, and why pay for that extra manager when you could just be buying the ETF?
And that's another level that I've been able to tell my clients about, Tammy, in order to justify my advisory fee, is why pay a international mutual fund money manager, 2.5 to 3% on an annual basis, to perform in line with the S&P 500, when you can spend $25-$30 transaction fee to buy the EEM or the EFA couple of international ETFs and own that for annual fees of, you know, 40 or 50 basis points and get three or four times the performance.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That math works to the participants' favor as well, and that's another thing that I think the people that listen to this podcast would appreciate understanding, that their costs of their plan are going to be much more maximized using some self-directed options in addition to some of the good funds on their regular retirement plan menu.
I think so, too. And you're right. The Team Builder is a fantastic program right now, and we're in the process of updating that to the next level. You know, Team Builder 2.0 is coming.
Yes, 2.0. That's good. And yeah. That, I think, will be an excuse for maybe later in the year, Tammy, to do an update.
Yeah, that's right. We'll definitely have to do an update. And, of course, advisors can always go and sign up for your 401k class. Rick, you've got a lot of great resources with respect to documents that you've pulled out and so forth for the advisor to take a look at. And they'll always get the updates in that class. You can take as long as they want you to look over the material or be as quick as they want to about it, but it'll always be open to them once they take that class.
Yeah, that's the Dorsey Wright Global Online University.
That's right.
You know, Tammy, I don't know the email address or the website address for that. Can you rattle that off?
Sure. The website is www.dwaglobaluniversity.com. Or if you're already in our website, you just click on the Education tab, and the DWA Global Online University will pop up right there.
Exactly. And it's the PF 401 class, and the title of the class is
Tactically managing your 401k.
Tactically manage your 401k plan. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's exactly like you said, Tammy. They'll get a lot of updated information, and the tactically managed 401k class has been a very, very popular class in the university.
Well, you know, Rick, we got carried away talking here, as we always do when we chat. So this week we won't do the individual stock reviews from Fox, but we'll pick that up next week on the podcast. And I just want to thank you for joining us and thank everyone for listening.
Well, thank you for your time, Tammy. Dorsey Wright's doing a very good service for the retirement plan participant public by making this information available to them and all these other resources as well.
Hey, well, thanks so much, Rick, and we'll be back with you next Wednesday.
Thanks, Tammy.